The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. I see you with your hands and your head there. You had to know this was coming.
I did have to know this was coming.
You had to know it was coming. I told you a couple of weeks ago, man. It's happening. It's happening.
How many comebacks were on the weekend? My God. I mean, this was by far the biggest, if you're a wrestling fan out there, the CM Punk coming back.
Well, I don't know. Was it the biggest? I don't know. Like, I think pop wise, if do you know what I mean? I think the coming back of, if anybody doesn't know, then that's that cult of personality there was CM Punk's music, and he made a very I wouldn't say triumphant return, but I think there was a lot of people that knew that on AEW Rampage, which is like their new Friday night show. Was it Friday night show?
Friday night show.
Yeah, so it goes directly up against SmackDown.
Oh yeah, I wonder what it's
going to be. Well, that's what you got to do, and that sort of return is usually held back for pay per views, but to have him return on, you know, just on regular cable TV in America is huge, and obviously it was in Chicago, so the crowd reaction was just out of control. Like to hear just that's the biggest pop for a crowd that I've heard for a return in I don't know how long.
Oh, the last one was that when The Rock came back, and I'm talking I think it was like 5 to 10 years when he came back. It was like completely out of the blue. I think he was helping like the Usos or something. That was at Miami, of course. So that's right.
And that's how you do things. It's a simple formula.
You're all right. Well, quick question before we get into NRL. WWE pay per views on a Saturday night.
Was that?
So I read up on it, which is good for us because then it's Sunday here. I read up on it. It's because it depends what happens in certain calendars of, well, they didn't say AEW, but AEW, MMA, or NFL and all that, that what happens in certain calendars, they'll put it on Saturday night because they can get actually more people there in the area.
Well, but that's the thing. But the wrestling has always gone up against, you know, this at this time of year on a Sunday. They've always gone up against Sunday night football. You know, Monday Night Raw has always gone up against Monday Night Football. Like I get it. They're trying to get more people back. That to me is them letting you know, hey, we're not competitive anymore. We know we can't get the viewers. We know that Monday Night Football will kill us. We know that Sunday Night Football will kill us. That's not good.
That's a whole different. That's a whole different thing. A rabbit hole we can get into where I think they're going. But that's
not good.
No, it's not. But I like it for the pure fact that I can get up on a Sunday and watch it instead of like not trying to watch it.
Exactly. People missing out of it. That's right. It's international, you know, missing out of it on a Monday because of work.
Well, that's possibly what it is for some, because the Middle East is pretty huge for WWE, so maybe they've put done it for that reason. Who knows, really?
Well, that seems to be a lot of money coming out of there too for them. They give them their own pay-per-views, but anyway, we're getting a little bit too much into professional wrestling talk and not into the NRL, which is what we're here for.
We might do a year of review or something of wrestling, just a year of review and just sort of go backtrack through the year and just see what we're doing.
I think I've told you, so I'm this close to taking just a little nibble of the AEW pie. I just want a little nibble. I've never watched anything other than the World Wrestling Federation or World Wrestling Entertainment. I never watched WCW, never watched ECW, I never watched Impact Wrestling or anything when it was on. I've only forever been WWE, and now it has gotten that bad for me that I think I just want a little taste of the new fruit.
Wow, I mean,
because it looks like a hell of a product.
Of what I've listened to and what I and well again we don't really get it here. This is the problem.
You have to, Fight TV.
Yeah, you have to have Fight TV, correct?
I found out last night. Fight TV. Thanks, Tristan.
Yeah, no, it's Fight TV. Yeah, there is a certain. It's, apparently, it's inevitable someone else might go there, but we can talk about that later.
We'll hope so.
We'll get into round 23 of the NRL, starting with the Thursday night game of Melbourne beating the Titans 34-20.
Melbourne was shooting for 19 in a row. They ended up getting their 19 in a row with this, but they were made to work. They were made to work hard for this, like the Gold Coast. And this is what happened with the Cowboys a few weeks ago when they come up against Melbourne, and everyone just thought it was going to be a complete nutter massacre. And the Gold Coast come out and took their opportunities that Melbourne gave them in that first 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of looked like Melbourne were a bit sort of shell shocked at the start of what.
Well, they were playing very expansive football.
The Titans were, yeah, they definitely were. Yeah.
And then it was just a little bit funny, like, you know, after sort of Melbourne had clawed their way back into it. And tied the game up there. I thought the Gold Coast sort of went back into their shell a little bit. They're just like, oh, we can't keep playing like this. And it's like, yes, you can, and you have to. Otherwise, you just simply have no chance of winning this game.
What do you think? It's funny you say that, expansive football. The thing I noticed straight away, because it was expansive, is because who the 6 and 7 was. Jamal Fogarty had a fairly decent game in this game because he ran the ball a fair bit, but played more expansive. Where he's still young, but Toby Sexton is still probably not at that sort of stage yet.
No, he's not quite there as of yet. But it just seems that, you know, with Ash Taylor sort of back knocking on the door, and you know there's rumors floating around that, you know, that there's a few teams out there that are kicking the tires, so to speak, on Ash Taylor. You know, the Canberra Raiders have sort of been in the mix and they've pulled out. The Bulldogs have also been rumored that they were kicking the tires on Ash Taylor, and now they've backed away a little bit, which seemed like an odd choice. Why they'd sort of, you know, with Kyle Flanagan there and Matt Burton, like that's their, yeah, that's their halves pairing going forward. I don't know why. That's a Cowboys situation. I guess you want to have a genuine competition for the halves, but his asking price is $300,000 odd, and that's personally, I don't think that's too much for him. You get him in the right situation, and I still think the Gold Coast have still got the inside track in keeping him.
Sorry, it's funny you say. We'll talk about Bulldogs later. I know what we both think of Kyle Flanagan, but the Bulldogs do not think of Kyle Flanagan like we think of Kyle Flanagan.
No, of course not. But they're only going on what they're seeing with their own two eyes in front of them, instead of seeing what potential is there, because he's on a god awful team. Like, what the hell is he meant to do?
That what I'm getting at is they don't see that. So he's not the one going forward. I know by next year he's not playing for them. And it sounds terrible, but I think that's the way it's going to be. But we'll stay on this game. I was pretty impressed with young Jaden Campbell at fullback.
Oh, man.
Got a couple of tries. He's
that second try that he picked up basically like over the top of, I can't remember, if I think it was Nico Hines at the back there, or was it Papenhuis? He's picked it up straight over the top of him. No knock on, one-handed, landed on the ground, scored for his second try. It was unbelievable. And I had Jaden Campbell as an anytime try scorer at $4, so I was quite happy with that too. But
he scored twice. There you go.
Yeah, that's all. That would have paid a pretty penny for him to to get a double. But he's a live wire. You can tell he's like his old man. He's probably He's probably about a foot taller than him, which isn't that hard because Preston Campbell was kind of a short dude. But you can definitely tell he's got some of his old man's traits. Like he's quick, he's very elusive, he's raw, very raw. And I sort of go back to a few years ago, and I don't know if this name sort of a bit of a blast from the past for the Gold Coast anyway, and Shannon Walker. And he sort of come up through the lower grades, but never really sort of could cement a first grade spot because the Gold Coast was sort of going with players like Will Zillman and guys like that playing fullback. And Shannon Walker, I don't think, really got a fair shake in sort of locking down that fullback position. But he was electric and just didn't get that shot. I think he went to rugby union, actually, to tell you the truth. But yeah, I think Jaden Campbell is in this mold. It just, man, it sucks because you've got such a great player there in AJ Brimson, and hopefully they can sort of bring him on in that, you know, in a wing position. Just he's got to be in your team next year. And with Anthony Don retiring, I think that's a perfect slot in.
Well, you've also got Greg Marzu, who's playing pretty well as well for the opportunities he's getting. So I think I don't like their centre pairing of, you know, Brian Kelly's not too bad, but Patrick Herbert's still young. But you're right, maybe an AJ or a Jaden in the centres. Corey's found his niche on the wing. That's you know.
Oh, Corey Thompson. He was a competitor even when he was at even when he was at the Tigers, and yeah, he's really, you know, he's really locked down one of those wing spots when he's healthy, because I didn't think he'd sort of really fit in with the Gold Coast very well. And then the more opportunities that they gave him, it's just like, he absolutely has to be picked in this side. Absolutely has to be picked.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. It was interesting seeing Nico Hines at the halfback position, obviously, because Jerome Hughes wasn't there. But, I mean, it was effective enough. It's sort of, I guess that was sort of the opposite of who they had. And Munster obviously controlled the show, but it was effective.
Look, the Gold Coast, for how well they hung on in this game, and you know, against the good teams, you can't make these mistakes. And they made two mistakes when the game was in the balance. So one of them was a third tackle kick that basically went straight up and down. I think it was by Fogarty, actually. It wasn't by Ash Taylor. It just went straight up and down, gave Melbourne really good field position, and I'm pretty sure it ended up in a repeat set. So they got the dropout. The very next set, as the Gold Coast were coming out of their own, yeah, they're coming out of their own off their own try line. The Kenny Bromwich jump, no dummy half.
Yeah.
They're all standing around watching.
Yeah.
And you're only 10 meters off your own line, and there was about 21 minutes to go, I think, and then it was an Addo Carr try. Only a couple of tackles later, and you're just like, man, you can't gift Melbourne opportunities like that. And besides the fact that the Gold Coast only had 13 sets of six in the second half and completed seven, you're just not going to be competitive. And for them to only lose by 14, I'm not sure if that sort of says more about Melbourne or more about the Gold Coast.
I think it sort of says more about Melbourne. Probably not so much because Jerome Hughes wasn't there. So, because it did like make a difference, I thought, not having Jerome Hughes there. It probably says a little bit more about Melbourne and just sort of, you know, where they are sort of going forward and what they're going to have to do if Jerome's not going to be back sort of in the next few games. But I think it was probably only a little bit of Gold Coast for the fact of like they had those opportunities, like you sort of said, like they really, really genuinely had a chance to win this game.
Yeah, that's right. But it was when the game was in the balance, you know, with those couple of mistakes, and you can't shoot yourself in the foot against Melbourne and just. You know, a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes of madness, and that pretty much took them out of the game, which was a little disappointing, especially since the way that they started. But, you know, that's this time of year, there's no such thing as a good loss. Like, they're bouncing in and out of the eight over the last month or so. They just need to win. if they want to keep their finals hopes alive.
Next game was the first Friday game. The Seagulls, well, I mean, another barely getting sort of away with a win, 19-18 over the Canberra Raiders.
This game is a beaut, I thought. Wasn't terribly impressed with how Manly sort of started this game, especially with the amount of field position that they had in the first 20, 25 minutes. I think it was like a 60-40 split. Could have even been more than that. With no Trbojevic, and obviously that's their catalyst to making this sort of Manly machine run. And basically, you know, up until that, they had nothing to show for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought they had plenty of attacking opportunities. And, yeah, they had no points on the board.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. They looked red hot at the start. They just couldn't capitalise. And that maybe was as simple as Tom Trbojevic not being there. I mean, you're right, they wrestled. It sort of got wrestled back a little bit in the second half from Canberra. It ended up being 52-48 for the possession. But I was sort of pleasantly surprised Canberra getting those two first half tries and going in at 12-0 at the half.
Yeah, so I don't think a lot of people, well, not so much a lot of people would have seen that coming. I think this would have been like a 50-50 split on this game. I think everybody knows, like you said, you know, everybody knows with no Trbojevic, they all know Tom Trbojevic there, that Manly are, you know, 100% beatable. So, you know, Canberra's defensively, you know, kept Manly in check for a lot of this game. But, you know, to say that halftime was the worst thing to happen, but whether or not Desi sort of, you know, gave his troops a bit of a blasting at halftime, yeah, maybe to sort of get their head back into the game and sort of focus a little bit more, because they come out red hot in the second half.
Yeah, oh, they definitely did, I was trying to do this all day, trying to work out his name. Is it Huamali?
Olakuatu.
Yeah, his sort of slick try in the 42nd minute, like you said, they come out red hot, and just off the back of sort of slick play that he got that try.
And the Morgan Harper try, like, you know, on the 57th minute, came off, you know, a pretty poor error by Charles Nicol-Klokstad at the back. You know, just a simple drop, of the ball, and you know, he'd looked pretty solid at the back there for most of that game. You know, this, I guess, is sort of, you know, him coming back for the first time in a while. So, you know, just sort of getting back into the groove of things, so to speak. And just that sort of, you can't open the door for Manly. And, you know, once they did that, they blew it open. You know, Curtis Sirenham went over only 5 minutes later after that. And yeah, I mean, it sort of had that grandstand finish, you know, with the way that it sort of, yeah, that it all panned out. You know, you had the Nicol-Klokstad try, you know, basically with about a minute to go, and you know, Canberra gets the ball back, and it sort of went a little bit anticlimactic with the way that they'd sort of rumbled up the field. And And then it sort of petered out with a wrap and a field goal attempt, which, you know, was pretty ordinary, pretty much as full time sort of went. Well, you know, that they were going for the win. They weren't going for the draw. They were going for the win. Like, that was a 45 meter field goal attempt, and it just sort of petered out a little bit. So I thought it was a little bit of an anticlimactic end.
It's funny that Josh Schuster's professional foul, and obviously he got bent, was a little bit of a stroke of genius, I thought. I mean,
it's such a silly move. Like, but all they were doing was just holding him down. Like, did you just,
but they did it for, don't, purposely.
They, no, that's right. And they forced the referee's hand. Correct. to put him in the bin.
And I don't think, honestly, looking at his face, I don't think he cared, because obviously it took some sort of
I mean, by the end of it, it almost cost them the game.
It almost cost him the game, but I thought it was intentionally done.
Of course it was. But that's right. But that's not what they were just looking at, giving away a set restart. They weren't looking at the referee halting the game and sending him to the bin.
No, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
And but they forced the referee's hands. They had the referee had no option but to bin him, and that gave Canberra that field position to be able to even have a chance at winning that game.
Yeah, that's right. No, yeah, you're right. But they had no option. But it was, I mean, it kind of felt like they had no choice but to do it a little bit as well. But it didn't.
No, but that's, I mean, you gave away a free 25 meters. Like, you just can't give, especially in a one-point game, you just can't give the other team a sniff.
No, that's true. No, that's exactly right. Speaking of getting a sniff, the next Friday game was the Panthers coming back in the second half very, very well, beating the Rabbitohs 25-12.
Nathan Cleary began to find his mojo again, I guess, a little bit in that second half, because South's first half an hour was as clinical as it gets, and I really thought that they were going to stand up to this challenge of sort of taking it to Penrith, and you know the Latrell Mitchell try came off a brilliant Reynolds 40-20 to give him field position. And you just thought, you're just like, well, here you go. Here's the tester for South. And as they'd sort of gone on, and as they began to, I guess, as they began to sort of crumble, in the second half a little bit. But the coach killer was the Stephen Crichton try right on half time. And the only reason that they got that try and that field position was by a stupid, stupid penalty by Adam Reynolds, but just by a blatant pie face as he was trying to get up as Stephen Crichton. And it happened to be on Stephen Crichton, who was trying to get up and play the ball. And it was just, it was such a dumb move. It's like, why are you doing that? And that's, I mean, that he gives away the penalty, and whammo, they go straight down there and score in the last minute of the first half. It's like, oh my God. And it all just went south since then.
Yeah.
Literally. No pun intended.
No, very pun intended. I'd go with that, because it literally went south after that, because they were electric in that first 30. And I had them tipped thinking, well, they were up for this game. Yes, I knew Nathan Cleary was back, but I thought, you know, coming back, it just sort of settled. But it just shows you his class, I suppose, once he sort of took control of that sort of second half. Just class. I mean, as simple as that sounds, it was. Like, they were clinical in their completion rate, you know, nearly 90% at 38 over 43. Yeah. And they had more ball because he knows when to hold the ball.
That's right. It's control. Things, it's control of the game. So, and like you said, it's look, and they, especially in the second half, with Cleary's kicking game, they tortured Josh Mansour. On that far edge, tortured him, and it got to him by the end of it. It totally got to him, because there was a couple of times that him and Latrell just weren't. I don't know whether anyone was calling for the ball. The ball was bouncing, and it's just like they had him totally rattled, and then he got rattled, and he didn't take any further part for about the last 12 or 13 minutes, I don't think. Mansour, he copped the knee right to the face, and it opened him up. Something shocking.
They not for that kind of targeting, but it's funny they targeted him, obviously him being an ex-Penrith player. They obviously knew what he's like, kind of the high ball at training sessions and that, because that's how it felt. It honestly exactly what they were looking for.
Usually I'm not sort of down for that kind of ploy, because you cut the field in half, and you become too one-dimensional when you do that. But look, the first couple of times, Mansour was good, but all it took was one mistake. All it took was one knock on, had him rattled, and then a couple of times he didn't want a bar of it. The ball bounced, and you cannot do that as a winger, is get close to it and then all of a sudden get spooked and let the ball bounce, because the bounce of the football can go anywhere. And it puts too much pressure on yourself, and it also puts too much pressure on Latrell Mitchell.
That team is pretty sort of set out. I mean, obviously, Cleary coming back at halfbacks, you know, Crichton back in the wing, who's pretty good in the wing, because obviously Matt Burton's back in the centres. Yeah, look, that team, 1-17, is pretty, you know, well, very, very capable. We've even got Vita Pangai on that 19 at the moment. He can't seem to crack
that. Well, they're not at full strength yet either.
No. They're missing.
Like, that's the thing. Fisher They've Harris. Still got James Fisher-Harris to come back. They've still got Brian To'ol to come back.
Yeah,
like they're not a full strength. They're not a full strength by any means. And
Naden taking those opportunities, but
oh yeah. Well, and that's and that's right. You know, he's been sort of in and out of the team this year, and that's I guess I can only assume that, you know, he will. It'll either be him or Momorowski that sort of that is the casualty once Brian To'ol comes back. So you know they might even be able to shunt him back into the centres with Burton. Or, you know, put him out on the other wing and have Stephen Crichton move back into the centres. Like, yeah, there's plenty of things for Ivan Cleary to sort of ponder, I guess, once To'ol comes back. But, look, yeah, they got the job done. And I thought it was a little, I heard a little bit of a misleading stat throughout that game as well that came through on the broadcast. So South had won 10 straight before this, right? So you'd think, all right, that's pretty impressive. Out of those 10 wins, 8 of them have come against teams that are outside the 8.
Mm-hmm.
The only two victories that they've had of teams inside the 8, funnily enough, is the same team in probably the poorest team that's been running around in the 8 at the moment, and that's the Parramatta Eels.
Oh, Parramatta Eels.
They've beaten the Parramatta Eels twice in this 10-game span, and they've been pretty ordinary as of late. So I thought that was a little misleading with how well South have been going. And yes, they've been putting on plenty of points, but against lesser opponents. So
yeah, that's fair.
I thought that was a little misleading and a little concerning. Wow. I think for them going by, they're not really sort of standing up against, you know, those juggernauts to the competition at the moment, your Melbournes, your Penriths, and this coming week they've got, you know, the arch enemy in the Roosters coming up. So that's a big game for them this week.
Exactly.
There's a lot on the line for both of those sides.
Yeah, yeah, that's huge top four ramifications, or 3-4 ramifications. So I think. I think it's pretty entrenched, but yeah, that I think it's just to get that win against, you know, potentially someone you may sort of see later in the finals, but
well, just to get a little bit of momentum back, you know what I mean? Like the Roosters have been just sort of, you know, plodding along as they have been this year, and like I said, you know, that 10 game win streak by South, I think was a little misleading when you sort of break it down a little bit like that.
First Saturday game, the Sharks. This was down for me, down in Rocky. 50-20. What a weird scoreline over the Tigers.
Oh, man, like that was, I guess, you know, to see 70 points put on the way that it was in this game was not so much welcoming, but it was good to sort of see you know, Cronulla do what they were doing. And look, to as this game sort of kicked off a little bit too, I thought the West Tigers had a little bit better of field position and a better completion rate and, you know, and a lot better sort of attacking strike rate to sort of challenge Cronulla there a little bit, which I thought they did. You know, Cheekham scored in the 4th minute and they probably should have had more points on the board than what they actually did, you know, especially after about 20 to 25 minutes, they absolutely should. That both teams were sort of guilty of, I thought, you know, sort of poor fifth tackle options as the game sort of progressed in that first half.
Oh my God, yeah, that's how I sort of took it. Their fifth tackle options, especially at least in the first half, were extremely poor. Very,
by both teams, it just took a little bit of time for Cronulla to even get into the swing of things. But you know, just to sort of let you know how good or bad the West Tigers have been going. They haven't won, so they won two straight coming into this to sort of keep their, like we said last week, their very slim mathematical finals hopes alive. This well and truly squashed that, but they haven't won three straight games since 2018. Like,
really?
you can stumble into a three-game winning streak. Do you know what I mean? Like, they haven't won three straight in 3 years.
That's a very glaring stat. Wow.
That's not, oh, man, that is not good at all.
No. That's not good at all. Wow. That's, okay, but that puts it back onto me of just their team management. And, like, you know, they're the 1-17. It's always sort of on paper. That's probably why. Makes kind of sense if you think about it.
Yeah, look, but like I said, yeah, you can, if you're a side that's hovering around the eight, you can stumble into a three-game win streak. You just can.
For a team that's hanging around nine, like the last.
That's right, like they have been. Which is paying like 17, point. Which is really weird. It's paying like $17 on Sportsbet for them to finish ninth this year again.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I've seen like a what's called Batuta Advocate and a write up of like that. It was basically the title was Tigers in danger of missing out on that elusive ninth position. everyone just feeds off them finishing ninth.
That's been their deal over the last couple of years. But look, I guess we sort of get back to this game. Man, it looked like it was a warm afternoon there in Rocky.
Oh yeah, no, well.
That would have tested both teams out. But I think Cronulla sort of made the best of it, especially at the back end of that game. That in the final 26 minutes, they scored 28 points.
That's Braden Trindle. Like he's possibly going to be one of their going into next year, going to be one of their big sort of stars. I think he looking forward, he's going to be very, very good.
Yeah, no, yeah. We talked about him last week, and how he's sort of come along, especially at the back end of this season, now that he's been given his opportunities there, with the likes of Sean Johnson being hurt, Matt Moylan being in and out of, in and out of the side just due to injury. He just can't stay healthy over the last couple of years. With him getting,
do you like him? Or do you think going forward next year? I mean, clearly, again, I say it because I think it's true, but I think Fitzgibbon has some sort of say of what's going on with all this. And I like the way he plays. I like his aggression. I like him sort of attacking the ball, and he hasn't got a bad boot, which is something you can learn, obviously.
I hope they sort of can, because from what reports are out there. Nico Hines is going to come in and either play, either play six or seven there. So for me, you have to give, not so much you have to give, but we just with his track record over the last couple of years is Matt Moylan, his health, like it's hamstring, it's calves. He just can't keep that lower half of his body healthy. But do you give Hines and Moylan the first chop at the halves pair, or do you just say, look, is Moylan going to be, that interchange off the bench and that spark off the bench, and give it to Trindle?
Well, I wouldn't even know, to be honest. Like, looking, going back to that game where Nico Hines played at the halfback, I think it's going to be a huge adjustment for him. I still think he's better suited at the fullback. I know you've got Will Kennedy there.
No, that's right. They don't want to upset that sort of apple card there as well.
I could even see him going six, possibly Nico Hines, and have Braden Trindle at halfback, and then do the, what you said, Moylan off the bench.
I think that'd work. I think he's deserved his shot. He's looked good.
Well, and clearly, he's effectively keeping Matt Moylan out. He's only 22 years old. God, he's a stocky fella. He's my height.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
180 centimeters and 90 kilos. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Look, I felt bad at the end. I felt bad at the end of this game too for Mulatalo, who got looks like he's had his season prematurely ended with a fractured jaw. He just copped the stray elbow from I was about to call him Willie Talau, from Tommy Talau.
That's a blast. That's yeah.
He'd be 45. But anyway.
Yeah, what's he's doing right now?
Pumping out kids. That's what he's doing. Well, not right now, but he has been pumping out kids.
Probably.
But, yeah, look, yeah, it was just a bit of a stray elbow, and it caught him flush on the side of the jaw like that, and he knew straight away that there was a problem. So it sort of felt a little bit, I guess the game sort of ended a little bit on a sour note. But look, a good win for Cronulla in their finals bid, especially sort of putting a 30-point differential to better their for and against to sort of help them out towards the end of the year, because that's definitely going to help them try and get into that eight spot.
It's interesting, we haven't seen, except for the big city Melbourne and Penrith teams, that's probably it. We haven't seen a lot of these kind of big score lines with these sort of middle to pack lower end sort of teams. So it's always been sort of close. Like case in point, like the next game, the Newcastle just getting over the Bulldogs, 22-16. A lot of these games have been hovering around those sort of score lines.
Yeah, that's right, and that's good though. Like you need to be.
I like it.
Yeah,
I
you
like
need
it.
A competitive. You need a competitive league. Like you can't just have the best teams just going out there and blasting the living crap out of everybody, because it's not interesting. It's not interesting watching. Like it is for the fan base, but for the general punter out there, and for guys like us that watch everything. You sort of get a bit disengaged, especially when it's a butt whooping, like a lot of top teams are doing. Well, so, look, this
was a bit of a disengagement this game. I like Newcastle and that, but once they had that handy lead of 10-0, they just sort of dropped the ball in the second half again. Like we were saying, like Bulldogs come back and you get sort of more engaged. So,
no, that's right. They just kept the Bulldogs at arm's length, and I think I think Adam O'Brien would have been really disappointed on how Newcastle sort of let the Bulldogs come back into this game, especially late, just to give them a sniff. And yes, the Bulldogs are at the bottom of the ladder, and they're going to get the spoon, but they're never short of effort, and you just can't give them a sniff. And that's what happened towards the end of this game. You know, Newcastle were terrific, on the edges. They were good up the middle. They held Canterbury to 42% possession in the first half. And even though Canterbury had a really good completion rate, I think they were 16 of 18 in the first half, they just couldn't get their hands on the ball and couldn't get it inside Newcastle's territory, for any sort of constant pressure.
I thought both sides held their completion rates pretty well, over 80%. So, it was a pretty effective sort of game. It wasn't as sloppy. It just seemed, Newcastle just in that second half, they just didn't seem, probably speaking of, well, they just came out poorly in that second half. Like they didn't need to go into the sheds.
No. And look, they put on two quick tries, with Clifford and Bradman Best. And I thought, once they got out to what it was 22-6. Once they'd sort of got out to that, I thought, oh, here we go. Like, Newcastle, they could put a bit of a score on here. And I think they might have been feeling themselves a little bit too much. And I think they lost focus. And, two tries basically in the last 10 minutes of the game. And, with Ockenbore going over close to full time. I think that would have been really disappointing for Adam O'Brien for his team to let Canterbury get as close as what they did.
I think there's, in saying that with Mitchell Pearce, I think there's still something niggling there. He just doesn't look the Mitchell Pearce.
Him and Clifford look better than what they did last week.
I'm just talking about Mitchell Pearce as an individual player by himself. I don't know. I don't know if there's something niggling in terms of injury there. Clifford was heaps
quite possibly. Quite possibly. Game. Yeah, quite possibly.
Really had one of his best games for Newcastle so far, I thought.
Yeah, look, him and Clifford as a halves pairing are 5 wins and no losses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're great together.
So
I just think they could, you know, Mitchell is the closer is what I'm getting at, and they did close the win. So I'm not digressing away from that, but he could have closed the game a lot better. I just think there's sort of something. It's possible, you know. It could be just letting Jake Clifford do it because who knows what Mitchell Pearce is doing next year. So
no, that's right. Well, he's still under contract for next year too, though, isn't he? So everybody's trying to push him out the door.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
I don't get it. Everyone's trying to push him out the door in Newcastle. It's like I'm pretty sure that he has got another year left to run on this contract. And you know, the way that they're going at the moment and, you know, with some of the players that they could be possibly losing this year, I don't think they're going to be unless they can get some good recruits coming. Yeah, obviously, they've got Gagai coming back there, but they need to sort out what's happening with Dave Clemmer. Because I'm hearing that he might be out the door.
A really good game too.
Yeah, they need to sort out what they're doing with some of their muscle up front. You know, they've obviously got the Saifidi twins wrapped up there, but I think David Clemmer is a huge part of how they're going forward, and they're losing Connor Watson to the Roosters, and I think they need to start getting their act together in recruiting because
you're right. I just think this because Mitchell Pearce is on $1 million next year is probably why they're trying to like ship him off possibly. So they can.
I mean, what's to stop them from restructuring his contract?
Because you'd have to add another year if you're going to restructure. So if he's on the contract.
What's wrong with that?
Well, maybe that's what I mean. Maybe they don't see that going forward. I get what you're saying. But to me, I know he's good. I would be trying to wrap up Clemmer more than Pearce. To be completely honest.
Well, you know, we've seen what happens when you start running with Kurt Mann and you know the likes of Phoenix Crossland and guys like that at the halves. It just doesn't work.
Imagine having a flyer of Ash Taylor and Jake Clifford there.
Well, they could. Like, why not? But the thing is, you've still got Pearce under contract. So where does that money come from?
Well, it'd be one of those. Yeah, you're right. It'd be if he's on $1 million next year. He's 100% on $1 million next year. So if they pay half of it, then they or you know three quarters of it, and then they use the rest to get Ash Taylor, maybe something sort of like that. Then that sort of covers it. They've done that kind of thing before. Wouldn't that be an interesting swap? Mitchell Pearce going to Gold Coast, and then Ash Taylor going to Newcastle. That'd be very interesting. That'd be interesting.
I mean, that'd be really interesting.
I don't think it'd be win-win for both.
Possibly. But that's the thing. Ash Taylor doesn't have a deal, and Mitchell Pearce does.
Well, that's right. So it's all in Mitchell's court. Next game was the Parramatta Eels beating the North Queensland Cowboys 32-16.
I love hearing the news. I love hearing the news. Did you hear the news? I don't know if you heard the news. Parramatta is back.
Oh, they're not back.
Oh, my God. Parramatta is back. They have just beaten a team that have lost 9 straight games. Holy mackerel. Parramatta is back, baby.
That's what I thought you were going to.
Freaking break. God
that's what
damn.
I thought you were going to say. I thought, which news? The news of that Parramatta's back or the news of that Cowboys just have not won since Tom Dearden's been there? So yeah, which news? I don't know which news.
Yeah, no, that's not the greatest omen.
Isn't that just alarming?
That's going around like, at the moment. Like, please.
But they're not back.
This is what they should have done.
This was
the order of the day. You need to play a team that is extremely low on confidence, and they should have put a hell of a lot more than 32 on North Queensland.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say. This was a win, but I don't think it was the win, like a win that solidifies that they are back.
And the score was a little bit flattering anyway. Like the only reason they got that last try, that Dylan Brown last try, is because Tabuai Fidoh dropped that bomb, and it just went straight into the arms of Dylan Brown, and he ran over and scored under the sticks. Otherwise, basically, the game's 26-16.
Well, the glaring stats of They finished lower than Cowboys in possession, and they finished lower than Cowboys in completion rate. So does that point that you're back in form? No, I don't think so. They're only 70% completion rate against Cowboys 75, and they only had 49% possession of a Cowboys 51. So that's for a team at 132-16. That's honestly pretty poor. Like you said, that last try probably did. Cancels it out. But even then, at 24 or 26-16, you're still going to be, you should be better in possession.
Of course, so, you should.
No, they're not, they weren't back. That was just the win they needed. As simple and as finished this game off as it is, that was just the win they needed.
No, that's right. And, look, I guess it's the old story again, like Newcastle, North Queensland just firing blanks and attack.
Picking both your sides.
Yeah. But then that's all it was. But there was this one occasion that really stuck out to me, and it was I think it was on the Sean Lane try, and it was such an easy thing to defend, but Cohen Hess just jumped out of the line with way too much enthusiasm, totally missed his assignment defensively. Left Tom Dearden, who, like we've said before, is a terrier. He's a terrier in defence, but when you're on the goal line, his goal line defence is pretty ordinary. And Cohen Hess totally just leaves him out on an island against Sean Lane, who, if you watch footy, is a giant. He is a huge, huge man. And he just left poor Tom Dearden out on an island, and he just crashed over the top of him for a try. It's just like, for God's sake, just hold the line. I've said this for 2 years now with the Cowboys and their defensive line. Just hold the line. But no, Cohen Hess, who to me is looking more and more, a lot like John Walker. And if you've been watching anything on Disney Plus and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, he is the new captain. You put a Captain America little helmet thing on Cohen Hess, and he is 100% John Walker, the new Captain America. Anyway.
That's pretty fair, actually.
I don't know how they do it, but I want to do that because I guarantee you put those two heads next to each other, and Cap is back. Parramatta's not back.
You could definitely do that. Sean Lane just has so much giraffe features. It's ridiculous. He's so long and limb.
He's massive. But I just thought that really sort of stood out, that Cohen Hess / John Walker just jumped off the line. He just jumped out of the line. And Tom Dearden just had to stand there and stare at Sean Lane coming at him and be like, oh, crap. And he just crashed over the top of him.
For everyone on Facebook, I'll do the editing of editing out John Walker's face and putting Cohen Hess there. And side by side, engage. Can you tell the difference? Probably not.
Oh, man.
Look, it was a win. That's how I felt this game. As quick as I wanted to finish it off, it was a win that the Eels needed, and that was it.
And that's it. Just to get him a little bit of confidence back, Moses started to play a little bit better in the second half, more than the first half.
Gutherson played okay.
And that's what they needed. It was just a little bit of a confidence boost. All you're doing there is just looking at this game at face value, because if you look at the standings and how both teams have been going, you wouldn't really be buoyed too much that Parramatta got this win. But it's a win that they sort of needed just to sort of, keep in touch with the top four. However much it would have, given them any confidence or anything of that, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure that the Parramatta Eels have the Melbourne Storm this coming week, so that might not bode too well for them.
They definitely have Melbourne Storm coming this week, so they're only outside favourites of $9. So.
Pretty sure I was looking stuff up today, and I thought the line today was 22.5. So maybe that's a little bit generous. I'm not sure.
$1.07 for Melbourne and Eels at $9. My God,
man. But there's been too many. To me, there's been a punter's nightmare. There's too many of those games at the moment.
Hasn't it been a punter's nightmare? It's been ridiculous. Sports bet, if you give us money, we'll throw you. Well, you know, we'll mention every time that, like, for this being a punter's nightmare and who we're betting on and that. But that's digressing away.
Oh, man.
Oh, now I'm looking at multis. Okay, I'll go back to the game. Roosters beating the Dragons 40-22 on the first Sunday game.
This was out of Toowoomba, I thought that they should.
The other one was Toowoomba as well. Second game.
I reckon they could have utilized the nice, not so much brand spanking new stadium, but that hasn't been out there for that long. Out there Toowoomba, the Clyde Berghofer Stadium out there that the Broncos used for a long time as their feeder club, the Toowoomba Clydesdales, and I think he's a real estate mogul, I think, and he basically got that stadium built on his own back. So, but this game sort of had a little bit of a weird twist to it with Sam Walker, not John Walker, Sam Walker, going back to the bench for the Roosters, which I thought was an odd move that they brought Lachlan Lamb in to partner Hutchison in the halves to start this game. And Matt Dufty was back for the Dragons, which I thought was a good move to sort of bring a little bit of spark back to them in attack. And
just on that Sam Walker one, sorry, I took that as a purely we're going to rest you sort of Sam Walker and, just getting ready sort of for the finals. Because you're right, it was weird, but that's how it's sort of, it ended up coming across a little bit.
Look, I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind that if you can afford to rest players without giving them a whole game off, you know, and you can still sort of keep them in the loop with things. And look, he dominated at the back end of this game when he came on. So that's not saying much because the Dragons haven't been terrific this year. Especially at the back end of the year, they did start the year off really well, but that they've sort of petered away as the year's gone on. But Roosters lived.
Sorry, I was gonna say you're right. You know, rest them like not a full game, but rest someone like Tedesco that just smashed the figures in this in terms of run meters and everything. But he needs a goddamn rest.
Well, he had nearly 200 meters run in the first half. Ridiculous.
Oh, have you seen him live? That he really, it's actually unbelievable. Like the amount of kilometers he does, but how he gets through the line because he's so low. Like he's not like a sprinter where he's like bounding. He's so low to the ground and it's
his feet. His feet don't lift very high when he runs.
No, but it's like he's sliding sort of. Oh man, he's ridiculous. He needs a break. But anyway, we're digressing.
He kind of did. This could have been a game that they could have rested him.
I thought so.
Honestly,
I thought so.
But the problem is they've got nothing. What are they going to do? Put Joey Manu there, and then you've got to start having a makeshift, wing and center combination. Like they don't have the luxury of doing that. Their injury crisis there.
Yeah, true.
They just don't have the troops to do it at the moment.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, the reason they would end up blowing out to 40-22 because Sam Walker come on and dominated that sort of second half or 38 minutes he was on.
Yeah, look, really wrestled that momentum back because St. George really, really came back and made a contest of it. No, with 27 minutes to go, they're up 16-14. They'd really sort of they scored two quick tries. They scored just Josh Maguire scored right on half time, and they sort of come out in the second half. Ravalawa scored, and then the young kid's name? Is it Matthew Fee guy scored only a couple of minutes later, pretty much on the next set, and that sort of that put them up 16-14, and it's just like all right, we've really got a contest here. But I thought that. The Roosters' big boppers really sort of powered them at the back end of this game. You know, your Jared Rhea Hargraves, you know, your Talki Ahos, your Isaac Liu's, that they just powered them, especially in that back end of the second half. And like you said, you know, and behind that, you know, Sam Walker could come in and dominate.
How, I mean, Sam Walker wasn't there, but Talki Ahos, he can't kick. I mean, it's funny that the prop is then your second choice kicker. It's just
hilarious. I know.
Anyway,
like he does an admirable job, but yeah, it's
it's all right. But you know, they had it in the bag, so it wasn't really glaringly obvious, I suppose, at the end of the day.
No, but that's the thing, Leo. Like I said, you know, your big boppers up front, you know, 20 hit ups from Hargraves. To 15 yes. hit-ups from Talki Ahos, 16 hit-ups for Isaac Liu. Like, they just charged them forward, and they really sort of kept, you know, the Roosters on the front foot.
Uh-huh. The final game was the Broncos getting the win against the Warriors, 24-22.
Why could they only get 18,000 to this game? Look, I get it. The Broncos aren't going very well, but they've been better in the last month. I don't understand.
I don't.
That's such a poor crowd for Brisbane.
If Sunday night just doesn't work in Brisbane, does it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't live there.
No, you're right. I don't live there either, but I don't think it works in Brisbane. You know, that's for a Sunday night game, that's a pretty decent crowd for a Sunday night game against the Warriors. That's a pretty decent crowd. I know what you mean, but what I'm saying is, if that game was on a Saturday night or the Broncos Friday night.
That's right. The Broncos preferred home venue night in a Friday night. That's all I could think of. It's like people might have turned up on Friday night to Suncorp Stadium and the Broncos weren't there, and they'd totally forgotten that they were actually playing on Sunday, and they went, oh, hang on a minute. What do you mean they're playing on a Sunday? Didn't they just play on Friday night? Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, no, they weren't.
It wouldn't surprise me. You really wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. They were pretty good in the first while. I mean, they sort of kept Warriors at bay in the first half with a couple of tries to Xavier Coates.
Look, both teams squandered really good opportunities in each other's 20-meter zone, you know, in that sort of first 15 minutes or so. Like, you had the Ewan Aiken double movement try taken away from him. You know, you had the Chanel Harris Tavita knock on the in goal, which looked like it had been scored by Herbie Farnworth as he come over the top as Harris Tavita lost it, but the referee was a little bit premature and actually blowing a knock on the in goal, so it sort of negated the fact that Herbie Farnworth had come in and scored the try. So yeah, this could have been a six all game and not a not a nil all game. But yeah, Coates really sort of, you know, took those two opportunities that he had and scored two quick tries in succession to sort of put the Broncos up, you know, after sort of a bit of a seesaw first half, or, you know, first sort of 20, 25 minutes by the time that the Broncos had got on the board there.
Yeah, I don't know if it was this week's game or the one coming. They had a bit of a weird sort of start to their preparation, the Warriors. I think it was this week where they trained somehow, like there was like a herd of goats that sort of got onto the field and they weren't happy goats either.
I was
gonna hold off for honestly just for a done of the week, like somehow like onto their where they train, and they weren't your typical goats. Well, I don't know goats as well, but goats that, you know, go around and do whatever. These were the ones that, you know, start, you know, ramming basically. They weren't happy, so some people had to dodge them and get out of the way.
Oh, well, that's just putting a new spin on training, and you're just putting some work on your footwork. That's all.
That's right. That's exactly what I was thinking. It was for this week. It's weird. It's still a little bit on my done of the week. Like, I was in the whole goat joke and I lost it. But the second half to me in this game was extremely entertaining.
Oh yeah,
very entertaining. I liked it.
And a little controversial at the end too.
Yeah. You think?
I mean, look, you know, the Warriors sort of come out in that second half, you know, very with a lot of flair and sort of got themselves 14-12 up. Yeah, Brisbane had a lack of possession in the first 15 minutes of that half, so they couldn't get their hands on the ball. And basically, you know, as you come down to it, you know, Brisbane had sort of got themselves into a winning position at 24-18. And, you know, with only a couple of minutes to go, we had a try given to Ewan Aitken,
yeah,
which from all angles that we could see on the television, weren't sure on who had got their hand to the ball first, whether it was Xavier Coates, whether it was Ewan Aitken. There was a lot of confusion in the commentary box, which was, you know, at least like 2,000 kilometers away in Sydney and not in Brisbane at the ground, which it was a little confusing to listen to as well. But because they're only watching it on TV as well. You know, on TV, you don't get all the angles, and all the, you know, all the TV screens that the bunker are looking at. But it kind of looked like that Coates had got his hand to it first. But if it's a simultaneous put down, then it's a try. That's just the rule. If it's simultaneous put down, it's a try. But all the angles that you could see on TV that we were watching looked like Coates had got to the ball first. But, you know, green lights had come up. It was given a no try to start with. So the thing that was a little bit confusing was the fact that the bunker had seen conclusive evidence to the contrary, to say that no, that's a try. So I thought that was a little bit of a controversial ending.
Yeah, I can see it that way. I thought it was fairly simultaneous to me, or close enough to being simultaneous for my liking. That's what I sort of thought. Hence, that's why I thought it was given, because it was simultaneous.
That's all I could think of, is that it was a simultaneous put down, and that's what the bunker could see, but we couldn't see on the TV. So that's why it was given. You could hear the referee sort of saying in the background, I can't remember who'd sort of come out to him to ask, you know, to sort of argue the fact that he said, you know, the bunker has seen it at multiple angles and they've determined that it's a try. So the only thing, I guess the only thing that sort of let this game down, like the Warriors scored 5 tries to 4. But the thing that let them down was Reece Walsh's boot.
Boot, yeah. No, you're right. I mean,
one of five.
Yeah. That one obviously was a glaring one. You needed to have that one. Like, obviously, it just could be kid, could be nerves, could be whatever. But that was the one they needed. Obviously. No, right.
Well, they needed, man, all they needed was one extra.
A lot of them, but that was especially that one, obviously. But yeah, 1 out of 5. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, 1 out of 5, and Herbie Farnworth was 4 from 4. Man, could you not tell that Herbie Farnworth is a pom? Like, just of by course. The way, you watch enough Super League and you see the way that they kick, like they kick their goals, is just, it's totally different to the way that we do it here. And as soon as you see that stance and the way that he sort of crouches down a little bit, it's more of a rugby union kicker than what a rugby league kicker is. And it's just like, you totally forget that he's English. Herbie exactly. Farnworth, yeah, that's right. To look at him and to hear his name, you think, oh, Herbie Farnworth. Oh, yeah, okay. That's, you know. But as soon as he crouched down for that stance, and the way that they sort of stand a lot more side on, and they like, yeah, that they really take the round the corner kick to a new level. But
It's very soccer football like. I reckon that's obviously he's growing up with that sort of round the corner kind of
thing. It's super round the corner.
So good win, I guess, for Broncos. Moving on to our start of the week, I'll let you go first.
To me, we talked about him last week, and we're really starting to like what he's doing. But I thought he took his game to another level this week. And Brayden Trindle.
Yeah. No, I mentioned him before. I think it's as simple as put him, you know, keep him there next year. See where he's going to go. I think you've got to keep Matt Moreland on the books. I don't know if he's re-signed or anything. I haven't looked into that. But Gio is going to go with Nico Hines and just go from there.
I think so. I think he deserves first crack at it.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree. Definitely.
Look, he had a good 40. He had a good 40-20 in the first half. He had, what did he have, 4 try assists, 5 try assists? Like, he was just in everything good that Cronulla was doing in attack.
Yeah, exactly. My start of the week is purely based on what's going to happen tomorrow night when I go see the Warriors playing the Canberra Raiders here in Mackay. I don't know the regional council, but whoever's looking after the stadium in Mackay have taken note of running out of beer in the first 10 to 15 minutes. Have massive trucks already there, ready to roll, and have put the word out for bar staff, because the Thursday night is sort of, you know, next day, you don't need that many. But we ran out of 10 minutes on a Thursday night. A Friday night.
What the hell's going to happen on a Friday night? That bar is going to get massacred.
Well, that's, they said, the two things they said, they didn't want to run out, they didn't want to have lines. So you're gonna have lines, but like
you're gonna have lines, but these
are like 15-minute lines. So
and yeah, no, you don't want that.
15-minute lines to get there and say, oh, we've only got rum at the moment. So that was
That's killer. Oh man, so I mean, sometimes that happens up here. Like, you know, the last game that I went to up here was the Roosters game, and there was 16,000 people I think at the game, but that was, you know, basically because of the Laurie Spina Shield. So there was a lot of kids from out of town, you know, parents from out of town, and like the bar staff had no idea what was going on up here, because there was this gigantic line in front of them. They had no idea what was going on.
They don't when they're Townsville. Like there was that Tigers game last week. It was a decent crowd because of. You know, mates and that have kids and that play, that they have a lot of tournaments, rugby league tournaments in Townsville.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are they going to do? They want to go to watch the footy. So
who's sitting?
Already mentioned sort of my dud, so we'll move straight under your dud.
Okay, so it's a little bit elaborate, but stick with me here for a minute. So we had like we mentioned at the top, wrestling pay-per-views on a Saturday. So as the football was going on, they were had multiple commentators talking about the wrestling, because they had to put it on Channel 507 because they couldn't put it on. I think there was a boxing pay-per-view on Main Event, so they couldn't put it on. I think that's right. So they had to shunt it over to 507. I'm not sure if you actually had to pay for it or not. I'm sure that they wouldn't have missed out on that money, but they started talking about, they started talking about SummerSlam, and yeah, you don't want them to say, look, stay in your lane, but they had no idea what was going on when they started talking about SummerSlam. It's the WWE's big pay-per-view. And I was listening to the radio the next day, and they started talking about it again. And they went on, yeah, it's wrestling's, you know, big pay-per-view. And James Graham piped up and said, oh, was it WrestleMania? And, you know, I don't have the best sort of, you know, things to say about Dan Ganane. I don't think he's the best commentator going around. He should stick to radio and not TV. But anyway, that's just me. He's just like, oh no, it was SummerSlam. And it's just like, well, that's not, you know, that's not wrestling's big pay-per-view. So I hit you with this. If you were to rank the WWE's big four, and you know what I'm talking about with the big four pay-per-views, from 1 to 4.
Yeah.
So obviously WrestleMania is number one.
Correct.
In your opinion, what is, out of the big four, what is the next biggest pay-per-view of the year?
Royal Rumble.
That's absolutely it's the Royal Rumble. Absolutely it's the Royal Rumble.
Of course it is.
And then honestly, I think SummerSlam and Survivor Series are on par with each other. Me personally, I like Survivor Series better than SummerSlam.
Because there's an added element of difference to it.
That's right.
I, I like SummerSlam because, you know, or I like it as well because it's a big four. You get, you know, big matches, big crowd feel. It's that sort of summertime over there. But I like I like Survivor Series better than SummerSlam. That's
yeah, absolutely. SummerSlam is at the bottom of the rung when it comes to the big four.
Raw Rumble, like, the way it's been lately, Raw Rumble is extremely up there with WrestleMania.
The Raw Rumble is absolutely the second best pay-per-view of the year, and especially out of the big four. Absolutely.
Raw 1B. Yeah, 100%. 100%. No, that's,
because because there's so many ramifications for WrestleMania. Just when they started talking about it, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, if you're going to talk about it, at least know about it. Like James Graham knew what he was talking about.
The whole thing of Royal Rumble, the 30 men, the 30 women, the right. element of people coming back, you know,
booking yourself in the main event at WrestleMania, like
The crowd know it.
Well, exactly, and they're starting to have the Royal Rumble at these bigger venues now because they know that they can cash in on.
Now seem to be in these baseball-sized stadiums. So
yeah, that's right.
No, that was a simple one. I could have easily answered that.
No, that's right. I knew that's what you were going to say, but I just had to hit you with it anyway because just the way that they were talking, especially on the radio, they could sort of be a little bit more loose in talking about it than what they were on TV. But it's just like, oh, man, like just know, please know what you're talking about. Like, please. Like just it's yeah, summer, they might build it up as the biggest show of the summer and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, when it comes to your big boys, you know, of wrestling pay per views, it just in my opinion, it's just not there. It's just not.
It's interesting that you know, we delve a bit more later. James Graham knows what he's talking about, so that's good to know.
Absolutely, he knew what he was on about.
Well, that'll do it for this NRL pod.
Look, if you're gonna leave me to my own devices here, then if you somebody has to go and order dinner, so that's fine. I guess I'll sign off as Miles. John Walker Plum. So
that's how I was going to finish as my name's Jason Cohen Walker Plum. Smith. Sorry. I'm definitely doing that on Facebook. That's how I'm
going to go and order your dinner. So you can find us everywhere all over the internet. We're everywhere. We're on Facebook. So all you have to do is just search the Final Play Podcast on Facebook. We're on Twitter, and that's we're at Final Play Pod. You can get all of our stuff on Spotify. Check us out on there. Give us a follow. You can find us on SoundCloud. Same sort of thing, you know, at Final Play Pod. You can find us on there. All of our links to our podcast go on our Facebook page and on our Twitter handle. And you can also get all of our pods on the Gimco website, which is GIMKO.com.au. They're always big supporters of us, so you know you can get all of our content with those guys as well. So check us out on Gimco and you know on Eureka Sports Cards as well. So you know they're always going from you know strength to strength when it comes to trading cards and everything. If you're into that sort of stuff, you know, the NRL, the AFL, NFL, NBA, they've got the lot. So check us out with those guys and we always like supporting them and they support us, so it's a happy relationship.
Yeah, the NFL will start heating up soon. I mean obviously NBA
we have got some stuff coming out soon. We've got our NFL preview up because we've got there's only one more round of dress rehearsals for the NFL. There's one more week of preseason left, and then we're into the regular season. And, you know, I guess the NBA's died down a little bit, so we can get in some free agency stuff and a little bit of NBA talk and talk about the draft and stuff as well.
Yeah, well, the NFL, the teams are starting to sort of name their QB ones for week one. So
I have seen that. Yeah, there's a few teams that are sort of getting out there early, even before the third week of the preseason, and saying this is going to be our week one starter.
It's not a bad idea at all. I kind of like it, to be honest. So,
I mean, if you've got the confidence to do that, yeah, I guess so. But I know the Jags have come out and said, Trevor Lawrence is going to be their week one starter, which I guess we already all knew that. But the Broncos sort of surprisingly have come out and said that the Teddy Bridgewater is going to get the nod over Drew Lock. So I think that was the first one that I saw, and then I seen the Jags come out and say that Trevor Lawrence is going to be starting week one. So it'd be interesting, I guess, on a personal point. I think Jameis Winston basically has sewn up the Saints starting job. They're going to name their 53-man roster with four quarterbacks on the list. But I guess we'll get into it too. You know, Taysom Hill is a quarterback in a sense, but not really. So, they've got Trevor Siemian there, will be the backup, and they drafted Ian Book, who a lot of people, apparently the Saints have been taking calls on teams trying to get Ian Book off them.
Yeah, I heard that. I have heard.
Quite happy that they picked up Ian Book. Later, I think they picked him up in the fourth round, I think. So, I think that's a solid pick, for the future. If things work out with Jameis Winston, look, if he works out, then, they're obviously going to pay him and they might shift on Trevor Siemian. But, it'll be interesting to see. I know your boys are on Hard Knocks, so I don't know how much of that you've been watching.
We only get two episodes so far here. It's Hard Knocks. You get a little bit of insight, but it's not really.
I wouldn't think so. They're not giving away too much information.
All it really is as long as Dak's healthy and they're resting him very well, as long as Dak's healthy for week one. That's all that literally this whole Hard Knocks is about. Let's make sure Dak Prescott's healthy.
No, that's right. And they've got to make sure that throwing shoulder's healthy.
And honestly, I'll book it now. Like, just from what I'm looking at and news, Zeke Elliott he'll have a massive bounce back here. He'll probably be, because he was ninth last year, he'll probably be top five running back.
He'll want to earn that paycheck.
Well, he was ninth last year in a terrible, not terrible by his standard season. So he'll be, the way he's in this, I think he'll be top five.
Well, you see, towards the end of the year, he started getting the fumbles up and, that just sort of put the Cowboys under way too much pressure, when you start losing possession and you're running Andy Dalton out there. So, he had to help out Andy Dalton as much as humanly possible by being, that bell cow running back to try and get them on the front foot. But yeah, it didn't work out too well. At least they didn't come last in the division.
No, good point. But don't talk about that division we're in that division. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, that's true. That could be another dumpster fire of a division. What is it with just the East division? The AFC, East look like it could be a dumpster fire as well. So, I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know, but I agree. All right. Well, have a good week, everyone.
All right. See ya.